Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey everybody, Eric Bischoff here, and have you heard about Strictly Business? Strictly Business is a brand new weekly series exclusively on adfreeshows.com. Join me and my co-host John Alba every Tuesday as we take a deep dive into the business of the professional wrestling business. And this is some straight up business talk here, no fanboy nonsense. We discuss television contracts, advertising, licensing, and of course, the highly debated ratings. So if you want an unfiltered, brutally honest, anti-fanboy understanding of the professional wrestling industry, well, Strictly Business is the series for you. And hey, if Elon Musk likes my tweets, and he did, you're going to love Strictly Business. Sign up now and listen at adfreeshows.com.
Do you love wrestling podcasts but hate all the ads? Well, you can get all the great podcasts early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com. It only starts at $9 a month, but you get exclusive series at adfreeshows.com like Title Chase, Eric Fires Back, Conversations with Conrad, and tons more, and a chance to interact with your favorite podcast hosts every month. See for yourself why thousands of other wrestling fans say adfreeshows.com is the best value in wrestling. Adfreeshows.com. If you could change one thing about your home, what would it be? A new kitchen, a new master bath, maybe put in a pool? What if you could do it with no money out of pocket and cheaper monthly payments? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you can even skip your next two house payments. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender, SaveWithConrad.com.
What's going on, everyone? It's another edition of DDP Snake Pit, wherever you get your podcasts, exclusively here on Podcast Heat. I'm John Alvin. I'm joined, as always, by the two bona fide Hall of Famers. First, Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, how's it going?
It's going absolutely fabulous, man. I want to apologize to the fans out there right now. I'm wearing the same shirt as I did last week because Dallas forgot his, and I didn't want to make him look bad.
I'm wearing the same thing, too. Dallas, how are you?
Actually, he's the one that had it.
I'm great. Let's rock and roll.
Rock and roll, indeed. We're talking the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase, on the Snake Pit this week.
Oh, God.
That's your first reaction. Why is that your first reaction?
I love Ted DiBiase. I know you do, too.
I do, too.
I tell you, when we were going through the resurrection, and we were filming the resurrection of Jake the Snake, you know, we got Ted, and Ted said some really cool stuff. But, you know, was in touch with me along the way, along with Jake, you know, how he was doing. And then we were at, they had brought me in to do, like, it was the Legends Night. So all the legends were there.
Oh, that's right.
And,
On Raw,
and me and Booker T did a little bit in the back, and, you know, did the foot over the head, and Ron Simmons came in with a damn, and it was always a good fun pop. But Ted, we had done all the thing where, you know, me and Piper and Flair and Slaughter, and all of us were all lined up, and they brought all of us out at one time. And after that, Teddy's getting ready to leave, and I'm like, Teddy, I go, you got to stay. You got to just stick around to the end. There's something's going to happen. You're going to dig. Oh, D, I got to get back. I'm telling you, you're really going to want what you say. He goes, I just got to go, blah, blah, blah. And then when he heard that they were sneaking, you know, that Jake had showed up, he was so pissed. But I wasn't going to tell him. I wasn't going to tell anybody because nobody knew.
Nobody knew, man. They held me in a damn cage, a trailer, all day long, man. 8 hours in a damn trailer waiting to go out and do that spot.
And when I did the Rumble, they put shit all over you, and they get you in there early. It's the same thing. Yeah. They hide you so that, you know, it doesn't get out on the damn internet. And then when Jake came out, man, what a great pop that was. We talked about it a few weeks ago, but it was Theodore, you know, he was bummed out that, and he sold it so great when we talked to him on Resurrection. Yeah. Like, oh God, I wish I would have.
Yeah, it was a hell of a pop.
Man. Yeah, it was a great thing. And it was the beginning of everything coming full circle. Yeah.
That was my first taste.
Well, I am very excited to take a dive into your run, in particular, Jake, with Ted DiBiase, because you guys had some awesome heated stuff going on back in the late 80s into the early 90s, especially in the World Wrestling Federation. But you were telling me off air, the first time that you interacted with Ted was as a referee.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like 1974, 75.
Did you referee his match?
I refereed his match.
No
kidding. He was wrestling my father.
No kidding.
Yeah. And it was a DQ, and back when they had DQs. And basically, it's one of those situations where he had gotten my father down and wouldn't get off of him. He's choking him, choking him, choking him. And I come up, and he shoves me away. Come up, he shoves me away. Come up, he shoves me away. I ring the bell. I come over trying to get him off. He won't get off of him. So I go, Ted, why don't you just go ahead and nail me? He goes, boom, God almighty damn. I guess he didn't really want to do that. Man, he tatered me. But he told me later it's because he was on his knees and he's throwing it back this way.
Right.
He said, I moved. Yeah, my ass.
Dude, you were so green then.
Oh, my God.
My money's on Ted here.
Yeah, it was. Let me tell you, when I first started refereeing, the fans loved me.
You caught everything.
If I didn't see it, I called it anyway. You know? And then they had to set me down in the bag and say, you got to let the guys get some heat, you know? And, of course, then I went too far, you know? I saw nothing, you know? Man, sorry, at first.
You were Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Hero.
Yes. I see nothing.
let's do a right time frame now. Like we're 11 months apart. Is Ted our age or is he a little younger than us? Or
Ted is 68 years old.
Oh, he's older. So you're older than you. So 66.
He says 68.
Yeah.
I think it's more 71.
Okay. All right. So bottom line is how now you're like 20. So he's like 21.
Yeah.
So because of his dad was a wrestler too, right?
Yeah. And Ted had been out in Amarillo, and they'd schooled him early.
Oh, schooled him early.
Yeah. And, you know, he went to college out there and stuff. And, of course, at college, he was with Tully Blanchard.
Right. Was there Terry Funk in that area,
Terry
too?
Terry Funk, yeah. They all went through West Texas.
Right.
Tully Blanchard still holds the records for most interceptions.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild. Yeah. Tully was a great athlete.
They said that it was run, and interception. They had no line, and they were just coming at him, and he just chunked it just to save his life. Yeah. And who else was in there?
Wait a minute. You're talking about who's the quarterback.
Yes.
Oh, you said interception. I thought you meant for
No, quarterback.
Yeah, okay.
In West Texas. And who else was in that group? Oh, doggone.
Does Dusty in that? What, Dusty's from West Texas?
I think Dusty went through there, too.
And Murdoch?
I don't know if Murdoch was, but he was out there. Yeah. With what a group they had back then, man. My God. When you look back at that, Dusty, Murdoch, Terry, and there's others.
It's so funny because you go to an area that was hot.
Yeah.
And you'll find guys who all came from that area. Like Minnesota, of course, was that with God, Rude and Perfect. And
Warriors.
I mean, it was
Barry Darso.
Barry Darso, sure.
Nails. Oh, God.
God, there was just, you get it, that little group of guys, they loved it. They loved, you know, they love wrestling and they love that athletic thing. And then they just feed out of it into
it. Was a great breeding ground.
Man. Right.
You know, and back in those days, the territories were great breeding grounds. That's one of the things that's hurt this business. is that when Vince took over, he killed off all the breeding grounds.
Right. Well, it's kind of coming back now,
it's coming back now with the independence and stuff, but there's still a couple of steps away. But
well, they need to work more. That's all.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And that's what the territories had.
Yeah.
I just shot a thing with the guy, Evan, who, you know, from Dark Side of Wrestling. It's called the territories. God, what the hell's the name of it? Like Tales of the Territories.
Tales of the Territories.
Unreal Tales of the Territories. And I did it with for the AWA, and I was kind of like the ringleader. Medusa was involved. Greg Gagne, who still looks great. Greg still, he's beat up, but he still looks great. Kenny Patera was there. Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart right now. Killer Bees.
Brian Blair.
Nope.
Jim Brunzell.
Jimmy Brunzell. Sorry, Jimbo. I had a brain fart there.
I love that guy.
Oh, what a great guy. What a great guy he was.
He traveled with me in WWE for a short period of time, like two nights. Second night, we were in L.A., and I went out and played a little too much and came back to the room, and evidently I left the bathroom door open. And the snake was in the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Brunzell was terrified of that damn snake. You know, and even to get him share a room, I said, see how the door shuts, Jim? That's all we got to do. Shut the door.
Here's a bottle. You can piss in the middle of the night.
Piss in the bottle. Oh, you know, or the floor, like I did. Anyway.
Please.
Sometimes. Just for Duggan. And evidently, I left the door open, and Brunzell's asleep. And the snake crawls across his face.
No.
In the middle of the night.
That would be it.
It freaks him out. He tries to wake me up, but I don't wake up. And I wake up the next morning to a sweating, terrified Jim Brunzell sitting on the top of a chair.
Oh, my goodness.
On the back with his feet in the seat. And he's staring at the snake.
That wouldn't have been my favorite spot either, dude.
That was the last time he stayed the night with me.
It was great talk. He had some great stories.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
all of, you know,
he was around Rashke and all those.
Yeah, I thought Barbara Roski was going to come originally, but they changed it up at the last minute or whatever.
Well,
but it was fun to do. So that's another show that's coming out on Vice.
Yeah, we did one for the Mid-South.
Oh, did you do Mid-South?
Me and
who were you with?
Me and JR and Freebird.
Michael Piazza's there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and somebody else. I forget. Brain fart.
Yeah, that's where I was.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a cool show. That should be out there coming probably this fall, I would think.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I also got
a plug that everybody loves the collectibles, and you have your own
action figure.
The new, it's like kind of like a little statue though, because they sent me one. The ones that that Sin's doing.
Sin's doing, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, they're awesome, man.
So Greg Gagne got together with this guy who's like who used to be a big toy. Big toy company. They did Ninja Turtles. So that says it all.
That's big.
They have so many. I want to say that Greg's got over 100 different, you know, names. And we're talking about everything from
Crusher the Bruiser.
Yes, Crusher Bruiser, Baron Von Raschke.
Yeah.
But I want to say, you know, there's a lot of the other bigger names. I don't know exactly.
I wanted to, but I couldn't.
Yeah, well, it's going to be really cool. And they're going to do families, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they wanted me for, was for me and Rockin' Robin and my dad. And
right.
Sam Houston.
Right. But it's going to be another cool line of things that people can collect. And because you're not going to, no one's got them. You know, so that, you know, there's some of them that'll be up there that are everywhere, you know, and then there's others will be, you know, very limited edition. So going to be interesting to see for the fans to come.
So by now, you know that on this show, we're all about getting better. And one of the ways I've started to get better is I'm using Athletic Greens AG1 every single morning. And I have to admit, at first I was a little skeptical because my wife recommended it to me, and
Well, she's recommended some things that don't taste all that great. But not only does it taste pretty good, I'm actually feeling better than ever, and I give 100% of the credit to that, to AG1. Let me explain what's going on here. AG1, and just one scoop every day, one delicious scoop every day, has you absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day out right. This special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your focus, your recovery, your aging, all the things. But what's worked for us is it's easy to travel with. It doesn't taste bad. And man, I just know that I'm getting everything I need in one single serving every day. I also want to mention, because this is important to me, if you have a weird diet, maybe you're trying some new things, maybe you're keto, maybe you're paleo, maybe you're vegan, maybe you're dairy-free, maybe you're gluten-free, AG1 is still for you. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial anything, and it still tastes good. It's also going to support better sleep quality and recovery. It's going to support mental clarity and alertness. And by the way, it's pretty doggone affordable. It costs you less than $3 a day, and really you're investing in your health, and that's probably cheaper than whatever you're spending on your coffee, right? It's cheaper than getting all these different supplements yourselves, and this is almost like investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. But what I'm most excited about is you don't have to take my word for this. Seriously, go just check out Athletic Greens reviews. What you'll find is more than 7,000 five-star reviews. And right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/DDPSnake. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/DDPSnake to take advantage and take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. That's athleticgreens.com/DDPSnake. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Well, I want to talk about the territory stuff because this is good. And in fact, you start in Georgia with him. It's Championship Wrestling from Georgia. Your first official match with him is August 5th, 1984. It's a battle royal. And listen to the talent that is in this match. Tim Horner, Bob Roop, Brad Armstrong, Bruno Sammartino Jr., Dale Vesey, the Italian Stallion. I host Matt Hardy's podcast, and we've had a lot of Italian Stallion stories.
Yeah.
Yourself. Jerry Blackwell, Jerry Oates, Ronnie Garvin, Steve Travis, Ted DiBiase. What a collection of talent that is. And that's the first time you're in the ring with him officially.
Wow. I remember that.
Well, that leads into you going to work in Mid-South with him.
Okay. I got you.
You have a program where it's a series of singles matches and tag matches. If it's a tag match, it's you and the Barbarian facing him and Dr. Death. And then if it's
damn
a singles
right.
match.
Let me tell you what happened there.
Let's hear it.
When I'm in the ring, Ted must be in the ring. Because I'm not wrestling Death. Okay? Because he'll chew me up and spit me out. Because he was an animal. So that's when I tagged Nord. Now, John Nord at the time had had three matches. And he had had one in Minnesota, and then he came and did TV. So he was fresh.
Mm. And Nord's about 300.
He was 6'9", 310, 315.
Just shredded.
But he could do the splits, you know. A freak, a genetic freak. And me and Ted would tag and let them in, and then we'd like hold on to the ropes and lean back because we didn't want to get hit by a body part or anything, you know. Because it was a thud, thud, boom, thud, thud, boom. Yeah, man, some great tag matches that we had, man. And working with Ted, with me and him, it was like a chess match. And, you know, I hear football players about, you know, quarterbacks talking about the game slows down. With Ted and I, it was like it was super slow motion. But it wasn't.
Right.
And we just flow. My reaction, his reaction. You know, he'd think of a move and he'd do it, and I would think of a counter for it. And it was so much fun. Of course, back then, you had time to have fun in the ring, because your matches were usually 30 minutes, you know, and you were a main event or a semi, and it was up to you to go out there and put on a great show.
And you also, like, this is kind of stuff I studied. I studied those two together.
Yeah.
Because it really was like you were working with yourself.
Yeah.
It was kind of like when I would work with Canyon, because we'd come up together, and he actually had more time than I did, much younger, but it would flow together like you guys.
So easy.
Yeah, and like this, the stuff you do, like just working the arm. You could work the arm and have the people going crazy and really never get off the arm for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Dallas, why was Ted the perfect counterpart for him?
Just the
size, everything.
Yep, but everything, just the athletic, you know, ability, the realness, the believability. When you would watch those two guys out there, you know, they tit for tat isn't really the proper wording for it, but it was like whatever he did, he could get back. And then when whoever took over, they worked it until it was time. It like literally they knew. Okay, now flip that back around. Like I watched Jake in the one match where he got up, and you don't really see this because what had happened to him right before this, when he finally took over on Ted and he took the bump and he got up and he's moving with that stagger movement and he's swaying almost like the trees do when the wind blows. Like there's little things like that. Like it's when you watch a great movie, and when you go back and watch it again, you pick up shit you didn't see before. Like I told you, I had 80 hours of Jake that a fan had given him, 40 VHS tapes of him. And that one, my favorite match of him and Ted, and it wasn't the one you sent me from the Garden. It was just they were wrestling at the Garden that night. And if you had Garden TV or whatever it was, you got that match. No one else saw it unless you had your subscription to the Garden. And this is a match. If they took six bumps in 20, 25 minutes, it was a lot. But they had them all over because of the back and forth, but the selling that made it believable.
Chess match.
Yeah, and when I see shit like what I call today, the swaying trees, I'm like, fuck, I missed that. Like there's things that, like I took a lot from Jake, but I took some from Dusty, I took some from Savage. But when you look at past the moves that they're doing, it's the little, like, what's his pinky doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but when Dusty did, all Dusty had to do with the Jody Hamilton, who was one of the greatest heels of all time, him and his brother, Mahler, but what were Missouri they called? Mahler. The Assassins. And Jody comes out in a suit with a hood, and Dusty's over there. They never get near each other, But as they're starting to, what their hands are doing and what their head is doing, people are going crazy. Yeah. Not even paying attention to the match.
No.
Because they're in a hold and they're going crazy because of the little shit that they're doing. And the swag.
Telegraphing.
The swaying of the trees. Like, somebody who's listening to me out there, if you're working right now, figure that out. Because when you come up from selling, it's all what you do after. We were talking about Steamboat a couple of weeks ago. Nobody did it better. Yeah. Like, you want to watch guys like that. And what are they doing in between it? Like, when Ted would come through and put the million-dollar sleeper hold on you, whatever he called that damn thing, the way Jake's arms are moving, he's not, like, just swaying them. It's like the son of a bitch is choking. He's going to grab him, and then he chokes more, and his arms open up.
Life and death.
And when you can really take what these kids are doing today
and
you mix that in,
it'd be incredible.
That's the next level of magic.
I think so too.
And I'll tell you, you start to see doing it. And I've been putting them over for a long time now, but Bryan Danielson.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's doing stuff that nobody else is doing. He's got all the moves. He can talk his ass off now with anybody. He's believable as hell. You know, at 5'8", you know, 200 pounds.
I wouldn't fucking do
it. Yeah, fucking, he's his best. Oh, did you hear a story about him? Did you hear what happened? This guy is, God, I love this guy. Him and his beautiful wife, Brie, get home from going store shopping or something. And there's two burglars in the house.
This was a few years ago.
And friggin', they see them. They probably recognize them, right?
They shit themselves.
They drop their shit and take off. And Brian friggin' caught the one, which means the other one's caught now, too.
Yeah.
And he puts him in the submission hold.
Oh, God.
Until the cops
That's
get
not
there.
Right. I feel sorry for the burglar.
Until the cops get. So I can't believe I just remembered the idea.
Oh, my God.
But like I say, that kid's doing something that if you go back 6 years ago or whatever it was, where he has to stop wrestling.
Yeah.
And because of concussions.
Yeah.
And when I saw him back at WrestleMania, I went directly to him because you heard me talking about it the other day. When I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is go into a hyperbaric chamber, which is 15 PSI, which takes me 40 feet below sea level. And then I'm breathing pure oxygen while I'm reading, working on inspirational stuff for Motivational Mondays for the DDP Yoga Now app or Fabulous Fridays or something. On that, it takes the oxygen to the brain when you get past 12 PSI, which is like 30 feet below sea level. The bottom line is when I got there, that was the first thing I did. I walked up to him. I said, dude, great to see you back. I go, how did you do it? And he looked at me and he said, hyperbaric chamber. I go, I thought so. You know, because that's the only way you could have cleared your brain and started to heal your brain from all the concussions. And look at him today.
He's amazing.
And the kids,
he's amazing.
I mean, he's doing all that little shit. Too.
He's playing smarter.
And he's only going to get better.
Yep.
And he's only going to get better. And the other guys are going to see him do that.
Yeah.
And little by little.
Oh, he's teaching. You know, teaching while he's there.
They're going to
no
do
doubt.
It. They're
I see him talking to people all the time. And I'm really happy that he's talking to Jade. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, he's helping train Jade Cargill.
Yes. Yes. And she's learning.
She's a stud.
Oh, my God.
If she ever
gets to that level.
She will. She will. She got an insane workout.
Yeah. Look out, guys, because she could flip over and be in the men's division.
Yeah. She's a thoroughbred.
And the guys would be pissed.
And she came over and did DDP Yoga a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing is she's a sponge. Like, they put her out there really fast.
Yeah.
And I did not know that that Brian was helping her, and you couldn't have a better guy helping you.
Yeah.
I remember when Steven Regal, he had just got to the company, and I was there. They were here in Atlanta, and Steven said, come here, I want you to meet somebody. And he brought me over, introduced it to him, and said, watch this kid. He's going to be one of the best in the business. And he was right.
He ended up doing all right.
I think overall, everything, you know, 60-minute Broadways, the whole deal. I think he's the best in the business right now. That's what I think. Just my opinion.
Yeah,
I agree. entirely. Well, he learned from the greats like Jake and like Ted. And really? Ted came over to the World Wrestling Federation in 1987 doing the Million Dollar Man moniker. And the rumor
which was Vince's
gimmick. That's exactly what I was just about to ask you about. Let's talk about that. Where do you remember
Million Dollar Man? Got first class.
Now that's what I wanted to ask. That's
right. I was so pissed.
You can't fly him in the back.
No, not there's with the million gimmick. Dollar.
How much heat?
Oh god! He had so much friggin' heat. And poor Virgil is in the back. And who's getting the bullshit? Virgil.
Oh my God.
I just seen Virgil this last week, and I just want to throw some love out there to that guy.
I love that guy. He's a good guy.
He went through a lot.
Yeah.
And he's still positive, man. And seeing this weekend played with my heart quite a bit because seeing him not being able to lift the one arm.
Oh, is that
strokes?
I didn't know that.
Yes, two of them.
I want to ask all you guys out there.
His arms are like that big around, man.
I'm going to ask all you guys out there who are, you know, fans of both of us. You know, you see Verge out there. That's his income. You know, get over there. I don't care if you got it already. Yeah. Get over there and get a picture with him.
Help him out.
Man. Help him out. Help him out. You know, he's a good guy. He's a really good guy.
He's a smart guy, too. Not many people know that. He went to the University of Pittsburgh in math.
Wow.
But he couldn't pick a winning football team to send his wife. I used to, back in the day when I was wrestling Ted, I used to bet with Virgil. And if I wanted to bet the Cowboys, what I would do was say, hey, man, you know I'm from Dallas, so I got to have the – no, I'm taking the Cowboys. I said, good, you sucker. I'm taking – no, I'm switching. And he would switch, and he would lose. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and he got to where the playoffs, brother, we're playing $1,000 a game.
Oh, wow.
So it was like on the first round of the playoffs, we're talking $8,000. Wow. And one weekend, I hit him for every one. So the deal is, I can talk shit about me beating you until you pay me. So he'd come in the locker room.
That's a good psychology.
He's beelining it for me. I run from him. I run for him and say, hey guys, if you need to make a house payment, bet Virgil football game. And it was so much fun. And of course, I put the snake down his pants and did some horrible things to him.
How important was he, Jake, to Ted's act at that time?
He was very important.
I think so too.
It gets Ted an out. That's what they're for.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to give Ted the final beat down. So you let him escape and let Virgil take the beat down, such as the snake. You know, the whole thing with me was the DDT and putting the snake on you.
Yeah.
So with our matches, if I hit Ted with the DDT, Virgil would save him from the snake, and I put the snake on Virgil. So he was very important. Very important.
Yeah, you know, like one of my favorite moments. And everybody who ever watched back then is going to go, oh, my God, yeah, mine too, is when he did the basketball thing.
Oh, my God, that was brutal.
And he did
kicked the ball
with RVD.
Yep.
RVD's the kid.
Yep.
Who's 8 or 9. You didn't know that, Jake?
No.
No, it's RVD.
Oh, my God.
You talk about something. And
that's what's wrong with him.
Two Hall of Famers. Now, just imagine that.
Oh,
okay, the kid's 8. The other guy's freaking 28, whatever. And they're both Hall of Famers.
Incredible. Oh, my God.
Like, incredible. Really high up Hall of Famers.
Ted, you're my hero. Oh my God. Just for kicking the ball. Oh my God.
I mean, everybody like 7, 8, boom, he kicked it. I didn't even let it get to 10. Man. Oh, in the face.
Oh my God.
Like Rob sold it. Like, I mean, like any kid who would, you know, I mean, bring that make you cry. You know, Ted had to do something in the back with those kids at some point or something.
I don't know, bro. I know.
I never asked him that.
Shoot. The one that was a shoot was the swimming pool.
Which one was that one?
There was a pool full of kids, and Ted and them went up and paid the guy off to get them all out.
That's amazing.
And then Ted and Virgil got in the pool. And they're all on the outside holding on to the fence. Oh, my God.
And that's so simple, but it's so different than anything anybody else was doing, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 And how dare you fuck with these kids? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that to me,
psychology 101.
If you look at the, I don't give a frig, what year, 60s, 70s, 80s, to me, one of the most entertaining gimmicks, forget the work in the ring, this is the work is off the chart. Yeah. One of the most entertaining gimmicks is the $1 million man.
Yeah.
Because of things like that.
Well, it's a natural hate position.
Yeah.
Because we're all jealous.
Right.
And the laugh always accentuated.
Oh God, yeah, that laugh. You want to shove your fist down his throat. Absolutely, man.
Are you feeling stuck making minimum payments on your credit card debt? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Oh, and did I mention no house payments for 2 months? Get rid of your credit card debt and lower your monthly payments right now at SaveWithConrad.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
It was so good. But you guys really, you kicked off the majority of your work in the World Wrestling Federation in 1989. That's like the heat of, and some of the best work you do, period, in WWF, in my opinion, is with Ted DiBiase, at least. And it really goes from about April 89, and you're going over, you're working with him a lot. And you revisit the feud in September, where it turns into you going over via DQ. You guys are going back and forth. You're trading the heat. And eventually it takes you to Survivor Series 89, where the Hulkamaniacs, which is Axe, Hulk Hogan, yourself, and Smash defeating the $1 million team, Ted DiBiase, the Barbarian, the Warlord, and Zeus. What do you remember about that?
Well, this gives me an opportunity to tell a snake story.
Let's hear it.
Vince McMahon came to me and said, Jake, I've got a vision. Okay, what is it? Can you get Albert, who was the snake guy, to get a bigger snake? So, because this visual is going to go, oh, this is going to be awesome. I want Hogan to hold the head, you behind Hogan holding another part, and then Demolition holding some more parts back there. Can he find a big enough snake? I'm like, well, I'm sure he can. He said, well, get it done. So then I started thinking about it. That son of a bitch is trying to kill my gimmick. How dare him let Hogan hold the head?
Mm.
You know, and
if you're not watching the video, Jake is drinking.
Yes,
this moment right now. And, he isn't drinking.
I'm thinking.
But he's imitating.
He's mimicking.
Miming, yes, drinking.
Because yes. It helps my thought process fuck up. You know? And so now I've gotten to the point of that son of a bitch is trying to kill my gimmick. Albert, what can we do? Well, Jake, he wants a big snake. I know I can get this one big snake. Do it. Jake, you don't understand. This is a really big snake. He wanted a big one. Let's get him a big one. Are you sure he won't use it? Oh, I'm positive he won't use this one. So we go to Richfield Coliseum, Survivor Series. Now Vince is wanting to time everybody going to the ring, the entrances. That's very important when you're doing a show. So now it's time for the Hulkamaniacs. Then says, Jake, where's Albert? I said, well, he's here somewhere. So we'll find him. We need the snake so we can do this walkthrough. Okay. So I go find Albert. Now, I haven't talked to Albert. And I said, Albert, we need the snake. He goes, it's right back there. It's in the back. Where? In that crate over there. What? That crate? A little too big, isn't it? No, barely fit. What? Because this crate is like 5 feet tall, 4 or 5 feet wide.
Oh, my.
So he starts pry barring the nails out of the top of it and gets about halfway around. And all of a sudden, the fucking top of that thing goes exploding away. And the head of this snake is this big around. Which meant the body was like this. And it's coming out. Albert runs and jumps on it. Throws his legs around it and his arms around it. The snake picks him up and slams him to the concrete. Albert's out. He's out.
Jake, are you serious?
I swear to God.
This sounds like a movie.
Oh, brother. And now the snake's still coming out. Vince is going, get that fucking thing out of here. Hogan has left. Yeah, you know? The thing is 29 feet.
Really? 29 feet?
80 pounds. It could swallow a human being.
So how do you get him back in the fucking...
Brother, there's about eight of us that fucking just went and laid on it. And then Albert came too, and we fucking pushed that son of a bitch back in there. It was the scariest fucking moment of my... Man, I've never seen anything that big, brother. I mean, his head was that fucking big. When he opened his mouth, man, holy shit, the fangs were like that. It was like a movie, like you said.
So I guess you guys didn't carry.
We didn't carry that one. But I did carry one over my shoulder. I won that round.
Yeah, I was going to say, you kept the gimmick at the end of the day. So there you go.
Everybody's supposed to be afraid of the damn snake.
Right. That was my fucking deal. Yeah. Now you're going to put Hogan up there holding like it's no fucking big deal.
Right.
And a tag team. What the fuck, man?
Well, the $1 million title then becomes the focal point of what you guys are feuding over. Before we got about 25 more minutes here before we get into the MSG trilogy, because I think it's so great. What do you think of utilizing a belt that he made for himself, for his character? How is that as a storytelling device and as a heat device?
Oh, that's great, man. That's perfect. That is perfect. You know, I mean, you put something up there cause he's blowing off the world championship and saying this, and it looks so much better with all the diamonds and the gold and, you know, $1 million belt. And, you know, poor Virgil again, he was put in control of that. And they would get on an airplane and they'd put it above, you know. And I remember getting off a plane in Fresno, California. And we went to get a rental car. And Virgil had walked up and told Ted, here's the belt, I'm getting the luggage. And Ted went, and Virgil went to get the luggage. And Ted goes up to sign the papers and stuff. And I seen the thing down there and I just snatched it and left. I go to the hotel, the Holiday Inn.
The boys.
You know, and I got it sitting on my table. And I'm watching Ted and Virgil drive up in a car, and Ted is still reaming his ass. The fucking belt. Of course, now Ted's already switched it around. No, Virgil, you did not give it to me at the desk, you know, because he's got to take the heat, you know. And then they see me at the belt, of course, and everybody popped. Except Virgil.
You know, to me, there's another guy. When I look at guys that should have been world champions, you know, that never were, I think of course you.
Yeah. Ted would have been a great champ.
Ted, of course. Yeah. Ted, Roddy.
Yeah.
Guys had another name. It'll come to me in a minute. But
perfect.
Perfect, Mr. Perfect. You know, I mean, it would have been unbelievable. You know, just certain guys. Because again, it was a long time.
Barry Horowitz.
You know, that could have. I just saw him the other day.
I love that guy.
Yeah, great guy. But with having the $1 million belt,
yeah,
he really didn't need it, but he should have had the other one. Yeah. You know, he should have gotten a run with it.
He would have carried it real well, and it would have been that old style heat,
right?
You know, where we're all, you know, if you're trying to make money, you put the belt on the heels because fans don't want to watch the babyface get beat for the belt.
Nope.
You know, and that was my argument with Vince all the time is, why don't you put the belt on somebody and let Hogan chase him? It's not the way we do it here.
Well, that becomes the impetus of your feud with the Million Dollar Man, because you are chasing the Million Dollar title from him.
Right.
And you guys have this trios, or the series of three matches, this trilogy, I should say, at Madison Square Garden, yeah, that Dallas was alluding to earlier. The first match is November 25th, 1989 on the MSG Network, where you defeat Ted via disqualification. So that leads to a no DQ match a month later at MSG, where you win clean. But you're not getting the championship. You can't escape with the championship. You'd have one more match for the Million Dollar title, and Ted wins via countout. But then a few days later, Jake, on Superstars of Wrestling, you steal the belt from him anyway. It's great shit.
Well, let me back up. Let me just back up. What I love about that, when I hated DQs. I fucking hated them. Mm-hmm. Unless
it led to something.
Well, yeah, if it's going to lead to something, but more than anything, unless Jake's still going to get in there and be able to DDT him.
Yeah. There you go.
So as long as that happens, nobody gives a shit.
Nobody cares.
No, because I didn't mind doing the job. Like, fuck me in the finish, but you're getting hit with a cutter afterwards.
Right.
You know? Give and then the people get, then that's all they need. They don't need to hear who won or lost. Because you get caught with a cutter and you lay there, good. No, you go with a DDT, boom.
The bottom line is, the fan comes to the show to have a good time. All right? The last thing you want is 20,000 people leaving an arena pissed off because their star didn't get to do their signature gimmick.
Right. That's what you came to see.
You paid to see that in live. Oh, my God, live. I seen Jake put that damn snake on. I seen Jake hit him with the TV. Oh, it was fucking fabulous.
It would be like Shaq not fucking Tomahawk dunking on a bunch of guys back in his day. Yep. You know what I mean? Like just eating guys alive.
Yeah, or pulling himself in the first quarter saying, I just don't feel it.
Yeah, right.
Oh. I'm good. Now these days, he needs to rest.
Yeah.
If I had a fucking ticket,
I would be livid.
Yeah.
I'd be, fuck you, motherfuckers. Yeah. You're making, $20 million a year? And you're tired. Oh, my God. I feel so bad for you.
Well, you know this because you are a gambler when it comes.
Yeah.
It's a chess game with these. The football's the same thing.
It is.
Like we'll never see that undefeated. If Brady didn't do it, nobody's doing it. You know, I don't think we're ever going to see that Miami thing ever get beat.
Team again.
Yeah, I don't think.
Well, I think free agency took that away from us.
Yeah, I guess that would be. I don't want to.
You know. That, you know, we'll never see a guy, not very often, come in with a team and stay with that team his whole career.
Psst. Who's going to take care of your family if something happens to you? What would they do without your income? If you don't have a plan, you need to go to GoliathLife.com. Get a quick quote from more than 20 carriers. You don't even have to leave the house. If you need a medical exam, they'll send somebody to your house or office. You're in total control. You pick the rates, you pick the payments, you pick the terms, you're in total control, but it gives you and your family peace of mind. What if something happens to your income? Hurry to GoliathLife.com.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty amazing that the big boy friggin', for Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Roethlisberger. Yeah, that he
stayed there
the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely do you see it. See him, I still think I know a couple of years, but He still did, you know, he was at the end of it. He was beat up.
Yeah.
He had a hell of a run.
Hell of a run.
A hell of a run. Probably
should have left a year earlier, but I would be the same way, man.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, I remember when it was time for me to quit. I didn't want to hear that shit. I got one more match. I did not have. Could I do the DDT? Sort of.
Yeah, sure.
Sort of, kind of. But I can't get in there and go.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing for a wrestler is when it's time to go. You know, I remember my first rehab trip. My psychologist said, you know, I'm not really worried about your drug problems. I'm worried about what you're going to do when the show is over. And he was right. Because when I let the show get away from me, I had nothing. And that's when I really went off the deep end.
And the most beautiful part is when, if you've never seen Resurrections on Amazon Prime, we go to see Mick Foley because he's doing stand-up at the Comedy Stop here in friggin' Atlanta. And me, Scott, Jake, and Garrett was with us, and Dylan.
Dylan.
Yeah, we all went. And Jake's, we're watching, we're 10 minutes in. He looks at me and goes, I could do this. I can do that. I'm like, yeah, of course you can. And but in the beginning, his first couple of shows, he didn't put the work in. So they weren't the greatest shows. But as soon as he started putting the work in, they got better and better and better. Yep. And then he had freaking 15 different shows.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, again, we talk about it all the time because of cap. First of all, the network is like, and now it's on Peacock. It's made a, it's classic rock.
Thank you.
You know, it's given all of the guys
new life, who
lived the upper lives in the 80s and the 90s
another run
all over it. But it's going to keep us going till the day we die.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's crazy. But and unfortunately, there's not many of us left either.
No.
You know, so it's just a select handful of guys that are still left.
The great learning process for Ted and I both, and from the guys in our era, was the territory. In that territory, you went to New Orleans every week on Monday. You couldn't take the same show there every week.
Not today.
You had to move. You had to, your match had to change. And which caused us to add to our repertoire, you know?
Yeah.
And get better and get better.
Better storytelling.
Much better storytelling, because you could not go out and do the same thing.
Right.
How many times can you body slam this son?
Sure.
You know, and Ted and I both, back in the day, man, we probably wrestled each other 40, 50 times in those towns, you know?
Well, all of this.
It paid off in the WWE.
Specifically WrestleMania 6. You right. guys have a chance to wrestle one last time for that $1 million yeah. championship.
Yeah.
And Ted wins via count out after some tomfoolery from Virgil, but that's sure. not what I think about when I think about that match.
Think about Mary Tyler Moore,
the $100 bill.
I think about the promo before him that Jake the yeah. Snake Robinson.
That was a great promo.
I think it's one of the greatest promos of its era. And yeah. I tweeted about it earlier today. I said, every single babyface, whether they're signed with a company or on an independent promotion, needs to go watch this promo. You don't take any shortcuts. You're super intense. What do you remember about that backstage promo with Mean Gene Okerlund?
I remember coming up with that line via a book. I cannot for my life remember the name of the book. But that lot, and my brain's brain farting me right now. The line with wallowing in the muck
of avarice,
of avarice,
a victim of your own greed, wallowing in the muck of avarice.
Yes. Now that line is being turned into a movie.
Really?
Yeah. And I get to play the top lead heel.
Are you serious?
Who turns babyface? Yeah. It's in China.
Oh, that one you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And because of the pandemic, of course, it's been pushed back. And I'm so excited to do it because it's dealing with something near and dear to my heart for sure. And I know your heart too, because you got such a good heart about barriers. It's placed in the time of the 1880s, I believe, when they're building the railroads across the nation.
Right, yep.
And they're using all the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese are being treated subhuman.
Oh,
and
bad.
Below.
Yeah.
And I'm a gunslinger who's getting pretty close to the end because things are changing. The railroad's changing them, man, you know.
Right, right.
And I get shot. I'm in bad shape in this family who is on their way to go work for the railroads, takes me in and starts taking care of me via my gun. I'm making them take care of me. In the process of them taking care of me and me abusing them, I start to look at them as humans.
Oh, are these Chinese people?
Yes.
Mm.
Can't talk English, but yet the actions speak all the words. And I'm so excited to do this.
It's awesome.
To start to fall in love with these people as humans, to a point that when I get healthy, we get to the railroads and I won't allow them to be mistreated via the gun. Yeah, I'm very pumped to do it and to use that as the name. It was so awesome. And you know, of course, they gave me an extra rub with the money. You know, I shoved the snake down Virgil's pants again. And we had one night the snake went all the way through the end, you know, and I got in a tug of war with the snake trying to get it out of his pants, which Virgil hates. He hated me for that shit. And I get it. I would too if somebody shoved a big python head in my shorts. But I could roll out of the ring and I got this money. And they tell me to hand it out.
That's a great question. I wanted to know, because I remember this. I didn't know if it was real or not. It's real. Oh, yeah. How much did they give you? Grand?
Oh, it was like $2,000.
$2,000?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember the one girl going, that's a real $100 bill.
And I gave Mary Tyler Moore like $300. Like cheating, which was a big pop for me because I loved her.
I loved her.
That's awesome. You
know, who did not love Mary Tyler Moore?
She was great.
You know, from Dick Van Dyke on. You know, she was the perfect sweetheart, man.
Yeah.
And I handed it out. And of course, when I got the bag, they said, you handed it all out. And I said, yep. And I still had like $1,400 left. And we had a good time that night.
That's awesome. That's, guys, yeah. And we're going to put it up here, but watch it 7 times over. It's one of the greatest promos you're ever going to watch. The match is a lot of fun. And it's really the last time you get to work with Ted on that stage. And eventually he makes his way to WCW Dallas. And he's revealed as the fourth member of the NWO. It's a different iteration of Ted. And his tenure isn't looked back upon in super great light. It just, it never seemed like he was able to catch on in quite the same way, obviously, on the back end of his career. What do you make of his run?
Ted was best in a single situation where all the focus was his work in the ring and so on. In a group, he fades.
Well, you know, and I think also that it was so strong, those first three guys. Yeah. And Bischoff, you know, that whole NWO thing started in my garage. Like, in my garage, me and him drinking beers, and Scott Hall's coming in. So Bisch was such a huge part of that, like the brainchild. And now, had gangs been done before? Yeah, but not like this.
Not like this.
Not the way you bring Scott and Kevin, and then they kill everyone for a year and a half. And then right at the top of it, Hulk turns. You know, I mean, you can't have anything better than that.
Another super boost.
And Bisch also, if you remember.
His turn.
Yeah, but he loved being a heel.
Oh, he is a heel.
Yeah, but, you know, now people get to see him, who the guy I saw, because he's a really amazing human being.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who's to himself. Like, when he was at WWE, he just read by himself. You know, until they wanted him to come. And if they wanted to put him over, they put him over. If they wanted to humiliate him, he didn't care. It's a character.
But a lot of guys don't like that.
Yeah.
They feel like, oh, that motherfucker thinks he's better than us. Right. Why won't he come do it? Fuck you. I know that. I know that jealousy.
So the bottom line is, this was his baby. And as things went on, Ted was probably supposed to probably be in that spot. But Ted couldn't have done what Eric did. Taking the bumps, taking the risk. Like Eric took, he's the first one. He's the first boss to be beaten up.
Yeah.
You know, like Vince never did that until he saw Eric. And that's what made, you know, Vince, me and Dusty would always talk about the greatest heel ever, Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And about maybe one of the greatest characters, because you go from babyface to heel and baby and back in the same night. But without Eric Bischoff doing that, I don't think Vince ever does that.
I don't think so.
There's never an Austin McMahon match.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist without Big Kev power slamming, or I should say, you know, doing his finish, the power bomb, through the stage. And everybody went, whoa. That's the first time you saw any of that kind of stuff. And you've seen it with wrestlers, because nobody did more crazy stuff than Mick and Terry Funk.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, right.
Nobody did crazy stuff.
Right.
Those of
them. Right.
But Bischoff was a regular human being who just got picked up by a 7-foot friggin' 330-pound guy and just tossed through the floor. So, you see, Ted could never have – that wouldn't be for Ted. Plus, sure. He'd already taken all his bumps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He already taken them all.
Yeah. Well, eventually Ted gets inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Where do you guys think his legacy sits at the end of the day?
I think, to me, I think he's one of the greatest athletes ever in our business.
One of the best heels.
I think he's one of the best characters.
Yeah.
And one of the best workers. Like I said, there's little things I stole from Ted too. Like, you know, remember when he'd have you all the way down in reverse chin lock and have you down, and then he'd kick his feet straight up in the air.
Yeah,
and come down. Yep. Mm-hmm. Go back and look at me and Johnny B. Bass.
My arms would shoot out. My legs would go stiff. That was like,
it's such a small thing. Right. Such a small thing, but it meant
little
so much.
Thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I never saw anybody else do that before. Now I started doing it because of Ted. You know, and there's so many little things I took from Ted, but I think Ted was one of the greatest characters ever. I know he's the greatest character that was believable. Because that son of a bitch, 6'4", 265 pounds, that son of a bitch is believable as hell. And he could go. And I think he'll go down as one of the best, you know. And to me, you know, he is underrated.
I agree.
It was a consummate heel.
Yeah, it's great.
In all facets. You know, he had the voice. Yeah. He had the gimmick. And he pushed it in the ring, man. He was a great, I call him a great mechanic.
Yeah.
He could put all the parts together and he could put it together.
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating, Jake, and we both noticed there's a lot of guys that are great mechanics who never make it.
Right.
Ted DiBiase was a great mechanic who had the look, the size, the rap, and the gimmick.
The charisma, man.
My greatest compliment from Ted was me being allowed to lead our matches.
That's awesome.
He let me lead.
Awesome.
Because he knew that I was going to take it a weird direction and come back there anyway. He really enjoyed me doing that.
I mean, he didn't even have to think those nights.
He would come to me before television and want something different to do with the job guy. And I'd give him little things to do. And he'd go out and execute them perfect. But, you know, sometimes you get bored. And some guys just have a natural knack of being able to come up with these quirks and stuff. And I was that guy. I don't know if it's because of whatever I was doing or just a natural gift.
All I know is it takes a great heel to make you like Jake the Snake Roberts. But damn, man, were you a great baby face with him? It was perfect chemistry and
it was
great business. You guys did awesome stuff.
You know, I remember walking back from, to the locker rooms and sitting down and you're sweating your ass off and the other guy walk in, we just look at each other and go, and we're still getting paid. and it's like, how can we be paid for doing what we just did? Because we loved it so much.
That's the beauty of life.
I would do it. I would have done it for nothing. And there were lots of times that I did, like television. You know, he was talking about the $100-something he got. Bullshit. Go to the WWE back in those days. We got $50 for doing 3 tapes and no hotel room and no rental car.
Well, this was a great, great look back at the career of Ted DiBiase. I love hearing those stories. Awesome program. Go check it out. Go out of your way if you haven't already, guys. Great stuff here, guys.
Man.
I'm telling you, man, I love just sitting back and listening to you tell stories. It's such a blast for me. So I'm so appreciative of that.
Appreciate you, bro.
Absolutely. Cameo.com, guys. Give DDP and Jake some love. Get your personalized video messages from them. You got the Athletic Greens there in front of you, Dallas.
Yep. Still here, man. Again, try them out. I loved it. So I'm doing them. I like them. And I'm not going to tell you to do something I don't do myself. So it's cheaper to buy the fresh squeezed organic juice, which I still drink that too.
Anybody suffering out there with addiction, man, reach out. I'll try to help you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, guys.
You don't have to go that way. You don't, man.
Incredible stuff as always, gentlemen. We'll see you next week here on DDP Snake Pit.
Next week?
We're gonna chat. We're going to talk about
it. Secret?
It's a secret. It's a secret. We'll see you next time here, guys, right here on Podcast.